Up next, the Astrology Hour on KFOX.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative.
And happy greetings to you, the people of Southern California. Welcome to the midweek version, the swing day edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. We are being rebroadcast this evening from 9 to 10 p.m. Today's show called The Chapters of Life, Recognizing Beginnings, Understanding and Accepting Endings, and Being Able to Continue with Your Life with Healthy Spiritual Evolution from Same. All right, and we also have a special guest in the studio, somebody that I've been wanting to drag down here for quite some time, and Billy Cheney, the nutritional, homeopathic, naturopathic stress management counselor of the Astrology Hour, is here. She's been testing me and taking care of me and giving me all these whole food supplements. And you know, Billy, how are you?
Really good. Good to see you.
9 months you've been making donations to the show, and one of the major reasons why we're still here.
Yes, and this is our birth month.
Would you speak a little closer to the mic? I don't want you to kiss it, but almost kiss it.
This is our birth month together.
That's right, 9 months.
Yes.
But, you know, the funny thing is that when we were talking before out in the hall, I found out that, of course, you recommended some of these whole food, if I can get it out, whole food supplements to me, take care of some of my lymph things, some of my glands and thyroid and such, and my liver to help me feel better and get healthier and detox and remove some of these infections. People with planets in the 12th house or the 6th house, see, 6th house planet people like Virgo energy or people with Virgo planets are people that have health karma. But if you have planets like I do in the 12th house, Mars and Neptune, I mean like the worst planet to have in a house of health because Neptunian disorders are like, I don't know what it is type stuff. And whenever you have planets in the 12th house, that's chronic stuff that stays with you for like years and years. Yeah. Now I'm having a Neptune square Neptune now. So this would be a time in my life where there would be some kind of health absolution. So that's why I'm looking forward to taking all these supplements to help fortify my lacking nutritional diet program. You haven't seen the copy of The Late Show from last night yet, huh?
No, I did videotape it, and I look forward to seeing it. You're my first TV star.
If you saw The Late Show last night, it was my baptism of fire. So I appreciate any comments you might have on that. Anyway, we are going to discuss the chapters of life. We have some open lines, so we'd love to have you join us. If you have a question for Billy, just call and tell me if you have a question for Billy about health or nutrition, and we'll let you talk to her. Thanks for coming down, Bill.
Well, good to see you, Farley.
Okay. And now we'll jump into this topic. You can kick back and relax. And the topic, of course, today is called The Chapters of Life. Okay, I was thinking a lot about this topic today, and I thought of doing a show on the chapters of life because many times, because life does feature the birth and death syndrome, which features the beginning and the ending of an experience of the soul, many times a lot of us don't like to think of that. We don't like to think that we were born, and we hate to face the fact that we're going to have to die one day and leave. But that is the blatant truth. It's the intense side to what reality and life in this world and this dimension is all about. And along those lines, if you take a look at birth and death, of course, that is the beginning and the end of life. But life is also filled with many chapters. And I have found in a philosophy that I would like to deliver to you today that life can be a lot easier to handle and understand and to actually experience and evolve through when you do recognize that your life is like unto a book and that the experiences you go to are also like unto chapters. And, you know, I think the difficult reason or one of the reasons why people fall into ruts, not only metaphysically, but spiritually, emotionally, and mentally, is because, number one, they don't recognize when a chapter begins. Number two, they don't recognize when they're in the middle of a chapter. And number three, they refuse to accept that a certain chapter of their life is over. And that's what the most important point of today's topic is all about. I think one of the reasons why people are miserable, stressed out, littered with sometimes disease, anxiety, emotional problems, physical problems, psychological problems, or whatever, is because they refuse to, number one, identify an experience in their life as a chapter, and also identify the Piscean factor, which is the obvious ending of that chapter. And obviously, you can't continue with this book called life, and we can't really process things in our life, karmically in our life, unless we recognize that the life experience is made up of chapters, and that these chapters are actually concepts and experiences that we are meant to face, and we are meant to handle, and we are meant to process. If you get to a point where you usually have to deal with a situation in your life that is concerning like a marriage or a career or a relationship or experiences with children or friends or parents where something ends. Like many times if I look at my life and see what's really anchored me, when I got divorced from my wife, I was in severe pain and it took me about a year to process that and say to myself, it's over. Now this is a mantra I'm going to give to you today, the listening audience. It's over. Because a lot of times you recognize something in your life as a chapter, and then sometimes you don't recognize it. You refuse to accept it as something in your life that's going to be missing. Isn't it funny? As I go through my life, I notice that only a few things and a few people really remain neutral. And I love George Harrison's album, All Things Must Pass, because that is one of my main sayings, one of my main philosophies. But an interesting part of this particular topic is that all things in this dimension, because this is a dimension that is an illusion of separation and limitation and beginnings and endings, we are allowed to flow that much better when we recognize certain situations in our life as a chapter and recognize that in case the karma has ended, we've done everything we can to absolve or make a peace with a certain person or a certain experience, especially during a heavy transit. Like opposition transits are ending transits. When you have an opposition transit, you're being told, hey, it's over. You know, like that song by Electric Light Orchestra from Out of the Blue. It's over. You know, that was one of my theme songs for the 70s, I think. But still, when you do identify something in your life as being what I would call painful or something that anchors you, something that you're chasing where you are frustrated or something beyond your reach that you just can't have, then many times it is important to take a look at your life like it was a book, and also to take a look at each different experience in your life like it's a chapter. And when that chapter is finished and it is over, I think it's healthiest for a person to finally make up in their mind that it is over and learn to let go. But see, there is a very incredible process involved with letting go of anything. You just can't say let go or it's over of somebody or some person because sometimes we get too hooked in. Let's say you're into a high-powered career, you're making $70,000 a year, you're paying your mortgage and your bills on it, and you're hearing me on the radio say, it's over, you know, and let go, and it's not that easy. You know, sometimes you might have to overlap and get a resume and try to establish another career, something different, because you may sense with your great intuition that there's an ending here, or that this $70,000 a year is becoming a little bit too painful to earn, that finally you may have to process this and begin something new. So I think, really, philosophically speaking, in order to have a happier life, beginnings and endings are the key. Learning when things are beginning, learning when they're new, learning when seeds are planted and roots are taken, and also learning when to chop the other tree down and remove those roots and get it out of the yard or get it out of your personal experience sector is all part and parcel to dealing with life situations and being a lot happier for it. Because so many people collect so much garbage in their lives and they carry it around with them and they don't process these chapters. Now, what I would like you to do, if you're interested in this particular philosophy, the chapters of life, is sit down and take a look at your life and take a look at some of the chapters that have passed. I could sit down and take a look at my life and, of course, call my marriage experience a chapter and my life with my father and career a chapter and the fraternity a chapter. My college is also a chapter and also experiences with my sister as a chapter. Experiences with maybe two or three critical girlfriends that I finally let go of and realized it was over. A couple of my best friends dying and my Uncle Herman dying and my grandparents dying. There's a chapter in each one of those areas that I had to learn to process and let go of. See, you actually postpone processing things in life until you finally say to yourself, hey, this is a chapter of my life that is over. I have to begin a new chapter and let go, turn the page, and begin with something different. Let me just ask Deborah. Deborah, do you have a comment on this topic?
No, actually, hi, Farley. I have a comment about the Late Show last night.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I thought you were adorable, and I thought it was really, it kind of was a high point in the show when you did, you know, come out, and you were prepared, you had all your paperwork, and I thought, is it Al Lewis?
Yeah.
I thought he was so out of line. I was, you know, I was just so mad.
You know, the funny thing is
he handled it great.
Off camera, he was so nice to me. He's going, I'm sorry, you know, I'm just nervous and psyched. I'm sitting there going, that's okay. And I said, Al, you know, you're pretty psychic in your chart. What do you see in my life coming up in the future? He says, you know that. And I said, yeah. He says, well, maybe it isn't BS. I said, why don't you say that on camera?
Yeah.
You know, and he goes, well, you know what? I think you're going to have a television show very soon. And I went, thanks a lot, Al. After that, he was totally quiet. You'll notice there was a part in the show where he did give us a lot of space.
Yeah. Yes, but, you were great, and I think you will have your own show, too.
Well, you know, in show business, what I do learn is that you must go through a baptism of fire, which means that lightweight people and people that aren't ready to stand up to the stress when it hits, you just don't make it. Yes. And I was so proud. I mean, I was nervous, but when I came off of that show yesterday, I was so proud because I said to myself, gosh darn it, I made it. You know, it's like playing pro football your first game and getting through it. And shaking off the dust and saying, you know, we might not have won. Maybe we did win. But at least I played the whole game. I didn't flake out. I didn't quit. And my Scorpio moon didn't lash out at him like it could have, you know, because I was having a lunar return during the show. Okay, I got to go, Deb.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Well, we're going to talk some more about these chapters of life, and we're also going to discuss some of the transits that alert us to beginnings and endings, astrologically speaking, and some of the meditation affirmations that you can say to recognize, first of all, identify chapters, and then overcome them and let go these, what I would call sometimes dangerous elements. Because also, when you do have a chapter happening in your life that is vital, that is critical, that is important to your own karmic growth, and you don't recognize it, you don't say to yourself, this is a karma, this is my karma, this is a debt, this is a lesson. If you don't recognize that, then what you do is you endanger yourself of incurring more negative energy and just having to relive that pattern over and over again. That's why some people hang on to these negative elements in their lives and negative people that they know they're finished with. Because down deep, there's a little guy inside of you saying, Farley, what are you doing here? This thing is done. It's over. You've already done it. It's finished. What more do you want out of it? It's like trying to get blood out of a stone after a while. But we, in our little insecure, I don't know, frustrated natures, like to think that we are going to get that impossible dream, win that lotto, get that person that wants nothing to do with us. Get involved with that person that wants to destroy us or hold us down or make us feel bad or guilty. And, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. It can be a very lonely life if you don't know how to process your chapters and let go of endings and start new beginnings. Now, before we continue with this topic and then go more to our phones, Billy, what do you think so far of the topic? Are you into it?
Very much.
Are you holding on to anything in your life right now?
I have done a lot of releasing because the topic's so right on. You have to let go of things or else they'll drag you down.
Am I a pleasant chapter in your life that's ongoing?
Yes, dear.
Well, then don't close my chapter yet, Billy. Okay, sit down. I will talk about it later. Okay, so anyway, if you want to get involved in the Astrology Hour like thousands of people over the last 4 years, and we are going to be on KFOX for 4 full years, April 16th. This show is an Aries, and that's why we're into self-realization. Then obviously it's time to send for your natal chart. The natal chart is a magical tool that we use to help figure out exactly what this vibration we absorb at birth is, and really to identify this uniqueness, this separation that we have chosen. So in order for you to get to that point where you do feel one with God, I do feel you must master the illusion of uniqueness that you have chosen. And that's what astrology is all about. This universe, this solar system, this planetary system we live in is a massive vehicular structure that is used to help form a vibration effect on babies and on everything that is born on this planet, any new beginning, that adheres to a certain special one-of-a-kind vibration, never to be repeated. And this very special vibration, of course, is called the natal effect or the birth effect that we call the astroscope. And if you know where your planets were at birth when you took that first breath, when the umbilical cord was cut, when the baby started laughing or crying, if you could get that date, time, and city of birth and send that to me, then I'll figure out where your planets are, where your moon sign is, what your rising sign is, and totally explain it to you in a wonderful term paper that will help you understand yourself better astrologically. It's called the Astroscope. You look surprised, Billy. Did you think that I read these ads off a piece of paper or something? Or
no, I think I now know your address and phone number and most of the offers by heart.
Would you repeat it backwards, please?
The address or any of it? My brain doesn't work that good.
Okay, let's get back on the topic. Okay, so we're talking about the chapters of life. These transits that we go through, the planetary effects, the moving planets in the sky are called the transiting planets, and the planets in your chart are called the fixed planets or the natal planets. And when you are having a transit effect, in other words, when there's a planet in the sky sitting on top of a planet in your chart, then that could show a beginning or an ending. Any planet in your chart, no matter what it is, depending what sign it's in and what house it's in, will delineate what beginning or ending that could be. Numbers of chapters in life. There's no limit. You can zero in on maybe 100 or 200 chapters in your life. It's like keeping a file system. What I like to do is organize the chapters of my life and designate which ones are closed, which ones are open, and which ones need processing because they should be closed. A lot of times you're forced to close a chapter, like, God forbid, someone dies, and you have to let go of a parent, a friend, a relative, or whatever. You're being fired, or you're quitting, or someone is making you feel bad about your job, and that needs a chapter to be closed. You're chasing after an unrequited love, no return, rejection, no deposit, no return. That chapter needs to be closed. You're hanging on to an individual for whatever reason that you know pulls you down, makes you feel bad. So that chapter needs to be processed and closed. You have a comment? Yeah?
That on what you just said, you know, so often people don't let go, especially like the unrequited love, or even with a death. You'll see them just hang on to it, and they never release the person.
Yeah.
And it tends to stay with them and bring them down.
Definitely. And that really, what it does is it prevents soul growth. It prevents evolution of the soul, emotional evolution. In life, the reason why we have karma is because when we do understand our obsessions, and let me tell you something, most of these chapters we're talking about are obsession-based. Even if you love your parents, a lot of people get so obsessed with that, one day they may have to go. And when they do, if you're not able to close that chapter, it can hold down or negate your whole life. I just saw a horrible movie with Michael J. Fox, Bright Lights in Big City, which I wouldn't recommend to anyone. Here's a guy destroyed his life with cocaine in the movie because he couldn't let go of his mother's death, because he really wasn't the type of son he should have been. So a lot of times when we take a look at our lives, I think this simple philosophy, especially if you are a person having a transit, and not only planets sitting on your natal planets, which is called the conjunction, our planets actually exactly opposite your natal planets, called the opposition, or the planets in a right angle to planets in your chart with the Earth in the middle, called the square. When these transits hit, this is when karma becomes quite obvious. Because it's funny that I always say that life is very gestalt, where you're rewarded when you do good things and you're punished if you do things karmically unsound. When you do recognize the things that are the most karmic, and let me tell you something, I must reiterate, sometimes the things that you think you love the most are the things that are absolutely the most karmic, and just because you love something or somebody doesn't mean it's always good for you. Example, somebody in a marriage where you're being tortured by a person and you love them anyway and you're sick with it, you may have ulcers or back problems or heart problems or internal problems that are manifesting, whatever, because you're not able to process a relationship you know is hard for you. Of course, it takes a lot of courage. You don't know how long this karma has been for. You could be involved with a soulmate individual, somebody you've been with multiple lifetimes. Sometimes actually working out the karma with one single person, like this woman that I chose to marry out of all the candidates that were possible, I picked this particular person for a very important reason, because I knew that I would go through a major self-destructive process that would not allow me to let go of this relationship and would make myself sick. That would be the catalyst to promote the most incredible spiritual rebirth I could ever imagine possible. Because before I had my rebirth, I didn't think there was anything that could save me from the misery of life. I wasn't really happy with this whole stuff. I pretended to be happy. I partied. I had a good time. I played games and I got involved in sports and competition and all that stuff. But the point was, is I was living a guttural existence. I was living a root chakra existence, an obsessed existence. And I felt I couldn't be happy unless there were elements outside of me that were happy that I would call mine, that I was possessive with. And what happens is sometimes you attract the single number one most difficult karma imaginable in a relationship or a career or in a living situation with a roommate or in all kinds of situations. And then, you know, when you finally realize you have to process it, boom, when you have that courage to let go and finally process it, then talk about blossoming like a flower or like a tree or a rose garden. You were saying something, Billy?
Well, it's the same. I know this sounds funny, but with food, people become obsessive about it. And they form these
like
obsessions.
Chocolate.
Yes, that's the biggest
thank
one.
Thank you very much.
No, everyone just about has it. But you are always attracted in food to the thing that is the worst for you.
Uh-huh.
You never desire something that's good for you. So it ties in with what you're saying about the karma. Exactly.
Everything in this dimension, in a way, can be a trap or a tease. And you can really discover all the answers or everything you really need right inside yourself in the spirit. And of course, you know, I'm not telling anyone not to eat or not to drink because we believe that's what we need. So hence, since Adam took the apple and gave it to Eve, you know, we've all had to start consuming this dimension in order to live. That's what our belief system is all about. But in many ways, to get back to the source of light, to the oneness of God, to the messianic qualities we all share, and to overcome some of this garbage we live through, We basically have to process chapters, beginnings and endings, beginnings and endings. That's what it's all about. And when you realize a chapter is over in your life, say goodbye, thank God for it, thank you for the growth, and go on to the next role. That was a cute topic for us. Okay, we do have Billy Cheney in the studio with us today, our health counselor from the Astrology Hour. Let's go to our lines now and talk to Donna, who has a general question. Hi, Donna.
Hello.
Thank you for calling.
Adorable last night.
Was I really?
Really?
I was going to bring my baseball bat with me. I should have.
Oh.
But I might have been arrested after this show. No, actually, I really do love The Late Show and all the staff and the producers and the directors and the management and of course, John Mulrooney. And being on there was an honor. And, you know, you never know what's going to happen when you have a show like that. So I think it was a lot of fun. At least it wasn't boring, you know?
Good. I have a question about retrograde.
Okay.
I got my chart, and I have 4 retrogrades.
Which planets?
In which houses or which planets?
But do you know what planets are retrograde?
Yeah. Saturn, Pluto, Neptune, and Jupiter.
Well, that's not so bad. At least it's better than Mercury, Venus, and Mars. But usually what that means is when Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Jupiter, or Pluto and Jupiter, are planets involved in retrogrades, it's many times it's being inhibited when dealing with the world, dealing with people, and dealing in heavy relationship situations, like above the horizon matters. Partnerships, relationships, intimacy, love, sex, philosophy, career, goals, friends, and not being your own worst enemy. It's learning to be more assertive and exert yourself. The inner planets, Mercury, Venus, and Mars, are more inhibited with your own identity.
That would be like in it, where my moon and my Venus are in Aries.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So
thank you. Okay, let's go to Annette on line 1, a Cancer Leo rising. Hi, Annette.
Hi, Farley.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I have a comment about last night. I didn't hear you speak, although I came in right at the end, and I found myself commenting about you. I said to myself, you carry yourself as a true Leo. You seemed very comfortable in yourself.
Thank you.
You also look like you've lost some weight from the time that I saw you last.
Please. How much do you think I weigh? Actually, I've stayed about the same weight for a while, but since I've been using the diet patch, I have been losing a few inches for sure.
Uh-huh.
But it's coming down because I'm getting prepared for something where appearance will be important, so I'm working on that.
Oh, okay.
So you think I looked handsome then, huh? All right.
Definitely taller and thinner to me, for sure. Could you tell me, please, I'm looking for a career in my chart, and if you see any changes coming up.
Are you working now?
Yes, I am.
What do you do?
I'm in charge of advertising for restaurants, and I write a column.
Uh-huh. Didn't you want to write a column on me once, or was it? No, it's a restaurant column.
No, yeah.
Okay.
You're not a restaurant.
Well, you're shown quite a bit of money in the future. You know, like in a year or two, you're shown a mint, a gold mine, actually. Leo rising people with Cancer Sun are excellent business people. The only frustrating thing about your career is you might not have as much control as you'd like to have with Mars in Leo also and Jupiter in Leo in your chart. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Bye. Okay, let's go to Ruth now, May 24th, 1960. A Taurus rising. Ruth, are you there?
Uh-huh, yeah, I'm here.
Is that your real name?
Yeah. Well, Mustard isn't. That's my mirror name.
Mean Mr. Mustard Seed. I remember that. Okay.
You can't catch up with Mustard.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, what can we do for you?
Well, I was just have a question about career and family, if what you see.
Did you enjoy the topic?
Yeah, I did. I think that's half the world's problem is they're stuck in the past and they can't get over it.
What degree is your Taurus rising?
I don't know.
Well, you do have Uranus in Leo, and with Pluto in Scorpio right now squaring that Uranus for the next year or two, boy, there could be real some shockers with family lately here, some anxiety that can kind of blow your mind, actually, freak you out a little bit.
Hmm.
Have you had that?
Well, health-wise, I have.
Oh, with your family, there's health problems?
Well, they're getting taken care of, yeah. My mother had a mastectomy in October, and that was the first instance of cancer that we've ever had, so that was quite a shocker.
Yeah, well, these Pluto transits a lot of times bring a lot of things that are hiding out in the woodwork, so it's a real important time for you to be close with the family for sure.
Yeah.
And overall, you are showing a lot of money, too. It might take about a year to develop, a year or two, but you are very money-oriented. Are you obsessed with making money?
No, it represents security, though.
Yeah, freedom, yeah. Venus in Taurus is what that is. Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh, thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Let's go to Joe on line 5, and she was there last night, right, Joe?
Yeah. Was.
You were, and you, I saw you on television. You were sitting next to Captain Casey, who could have said, I heard about this show on the Astrology Hour on K-Fox. But no. What?
I was thinking to myself, why didn't he say
that? Oh, he was so excited about being on TV, he didn't think.
I was so glad to meet you, and you're very handsome.
Oh, well, I try, but, you know, it's my spirit, I guess. I don't know.
I think the reason the show was going like that was the moon was in Scorpio. You said it was in right?
Yeah, you have to expect a very different type of show with a Scorpio moon on it for sure.
I'd like a general scan.
What's your rising?
I don't know.
Oh, you have your astroscope there?
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't? Well,
I'm not a member.
Oh, you never got yourself charted?
No, and I'm going to. I want to get a compatibility.
Well, I did your chart last night in the dressing room, but we didn't do any readings in the audience, so I forgot your rising sign. But overall, for you, are you having a little emotional changes lately? You've been feeling a bit sensitive?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Overall, I think that you do have a moon trine Mars in your chart, which is very good for being an overall happy person. You may be a little obsessed with career and somehow frustrated there with finances, too.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, unfortunately, you might be one of those people that may need to work very hard to make money, but you are shown a financial surge imminent right now, like this month and next month.
Great. Okay, Farley.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for coming by yesterday. Okay, let's go to Richard on line four, a Capricorn Pisces rising. Hi, Richard.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks for calling.
Oh, great. I have a general question.
Okay.
And I just got my chart from you.
Okay.
And I wanted to know if there's a karmic significance to having a Sagittarius all over my chart. Basically, it's my Venus, my Jupiter, and my Mars.
I like Sagittarius energy. I think when God designed the zodiac, he decided to add Sagittarius to make sure we didn't take it too personal. A part of your chart, now you said, no, I said you were born 1960, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Venus and Mars and Jupiter also in Sagittarius many times can be the sign of the philosopher from a past life. In other words, I feel that people earn Sagittarius. They earn the right to be more free. They earn the right to be more independent, more philosophical, and the gift of travel a lot of times when they have Sagittarius planets. You do have a Venus square Pluto in your chart, Venus in Sag square Pluto in Virgo, which could anchor you. So that could show a Sagittarius karma or inability to have all those freedoms and mobility and be able to speak out some of these philosophies you've developed.
Mm-hmm.
So the Sagittarius element is there. You are shown the potential to be free and happy and independent and optimistic, but the Virgo factor anchors that and creates a karmic situation that could make it confusing for you until you resolve certain things in your head.
Any idea what that is?
Well, usually I would think it would be your own personal limitations. If you feel bad about yourself, if you have low self-esteem, if you get negative or depressed or worry too much, those can be Virgo elements that could anchor some of this Sagittarius enthusiasm. Have there been times in your life that you've been very joyful and belly-laughing type guy?
Absolutely.
Well, then that's what you want to expound upon then.
Okay.
That's the Sag guy. Capricorn is very serious and logical, Spock-like, and Sag is definitely the George Carlin of the Zodiac. See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, my name is Farley Malaris. In case you just tuned in, you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, heard weekdays on KFOX normally at 12 noon to 1 o'clock, Tuesdays 12 noon to 2 o'clock, and actually the rebroadcast tonight from 9 to 10 p.m. on KFOX 93.5 FM, if you're listening, of course, in April of 1988. And we are a member-supported show, so if you are interested in what we're doing here in the Astrology Hour, I ask people to send for their charts so they can understand this show more like an astrological class or correspondence course, because we do give topics every day that are astrologically and metaphysically based. Billy just left, our health counselor. Now let's go back to the phones. Allie is Aquarius Leo Rising. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine. With regard to your topic today, negative chapters ending.
Yeah?
I have a negative chapter with my family that seems to have resurfaced again currently, and it's something I thought was done. Do those things ever stop resurfacing?
Or you know,
time when I can expect it to?
When you're born in 57, 56, and 58, sometimes there's a more heavy, I would think, frequency of family karma, because Uranus was in Leo in stress to Neptune in Scorpio for those periods.
Uh-huh.
And Leo is a family sign. Uranus is like a violent change sign, and Neptune in Scorpio is emotions and intensity. So a lot of times when you have Uranus in Leo with Neptune in Scorpio, it creates an intense karmic environment. You're also Leo rising, Allie, so your identity and who you feel you are is also plugged in to your family's situation. Like, you might feel better with your life when there's peace in the family. When it's not peaceful, you might feel a little unrest there.
Uh-huh.
Also, a lot of times with this type of chart, you also have Jupiter in Scorpio square Uranus, so there may be some anger involved in this family here. Are you laughing?
Yes.
Good. Best to laugh or cry. But a lot of times I like to leave the family members alone for a while. You know, don't be afraid. Like, I used to think, gosh, I better resolve all this because somebody might die. But you know, it's funny how God takes care of things. Sometimes it's best to let people sit for a while, let them cook with things, instead of trying to force situations, which you might try to do sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Because you're a strong lady, and you want things to go right.
Right.
And sometimes you might break in there and say, this is the way it is, and then upset everyone, you know. Good luck, okay?
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Pat is a Capricorn with Aries rising. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Farley. How you doing?
A long-time supporter, right?
Oh, yeah. Years and years and years.
Well, I'm doing very good. I had a heavy rebirth this week, but I feel much better.
Well, that's good. I saw you last night on the Late Show.
I was in a past life with Al Lewis, and he was Grandpa Munster then, in truth.
He hasn't changed.
Well, you know, he's such a pro, and he has so much experience that I like being on with a guy like that. You can imagine what it would have been like if I was on with Don Rickles, you know? So, you know, that's showbiz, you know? You just got to go with it. I got to be prepared to lash out on these people, too.
Sad bit rude.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's Grandpa Munster. What do you want, you know?
That's right.
So what can we do for you?
I got a question on, basically, a couple weeks ago, I had a great urgency to go to England. Like, it was very important for me to be in England in May. So I have planned to go tentatively between May 13th through the 23rd. And I was wondering if you can see anything in the chart why I should be there and what can I expect?
Well, are you married?
No.
Are you looking for some love?
Oh, sure.
I would think that might have something to do with it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In fact, you're lit up for relationships then. Looks like you'll be in a more comfortable setting. Emotionally, you'll probably be a lot better. You're a very tender, loving woman. And you're probably going to meet someone that'll probably sweep you off your feet.
Is this a past relationship?
Is it? Well, it depends why you're going to England. If you're going to England because you know there's somebody there, it may be. But still, during that period around May 13th, you are shown some activity in that area. And you are also shown a lot of fun, major fun. So I would go there with a positive attitude and have a good time. Okay?
Perfect.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
A bon voyage, as they say, Pat. Mark is on line number 3. Mark is also the producer of my show. God bless you, Mark Henry. We love you out here, you know. And Mark on the phone, though, on line 3, is a Scorpio. Yo, Mark.
Farley?
Yo.
I'm not the producer of your show.
You're not?
No.
No, I know. There's another Mark in the control room, though. He was looking at me when I said Mark.
Oh, okay.
So, welcome, Mark. How are you?
Thank you very much. I felt very bad for you last night.
Oh, you saw it, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to cry on national television.
I cried for you, though.
Well, you know, after the show this morning, the director called me, and he said, Farley, you did a great job. He said, under fire, you did good. What?
I didn't think they were being fair to you.
Well, you know, what can you do? It's like, it's important. They had the car there, and a lot of people are his fans. And what about John, you know? John Mulrooney had his baptism of fire yesterday, too. At least I felt like I was with him. And also that wonderful lady, of course, the actress who was with us, too. But what can I say? It's, you know, after that, Mark, I think I could do but just about anything, you know? It's like, what are you going to throw at me now? It's like they want to do a movie, right, and they want me to fall into the mud. Well, I don't know if I can do that yet.
I think falling in the mud would be a lot easier.
Yeah. But, you know, that's life. You know, I think I got enough information across that was important for a lot of people to hear. We did get a lot of calls last night, so I know people really loved it.
I didn't feel you got a chance to blow them all away with the information.
Yeah, well, you know, they say they want me back, so they're going to reschedule it for a month or two, and I'll just let everybody know when that happens.
Farley, I was wondering if you could do a career scan for me.
Boy, you are one workaholic, huh?
Well,
are you like day and night or something into work?
But I have it. That's something I'd like to correct and become one.
Well, just keep the faith, guy, because you are shown major, major windfall of incredible thousands of dollars imminent.
This is terrific.
Jupiter trine your Venus, and are you gay or heterosexual?
I'm heterosexual.
Well, you're also showing women coming out of the walls then if you're not married or involved.
No, my girlfriend will hate to hear that.
Uh-oh. Well, then she'll propose to you then because you're showing lots of action in sex, love, romance, and money. Get your rising sign and call me back so I can look more detailed.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Lisa is on line 7, a Scorpio with Cancer rising. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Farley.
You are a Scorpio, right?
Libra.
Oh, okay.
29 Libra.
Never mind. What can we do for you, Lisa?
Well, I had a major breakup this morning.
Oh, my.
Your topic really came in right on time.
Wow.
And also, I've got Saturn in Aquarius in the 7th house, oppose Mars and my north node, T-square Neptune.
Wow.
So, I'm hurting this morning.
Oh, well, maybe you should order a Farley Malaris crying towel. I'm thinking about handling those, too. Well, you know, I think Mars and Leo women can get so damaged. I have seen some people hurting from breakups, but for some reason, Mars and Leo women, they're like kids. And when it ends, for whatever reason, sometimes they're so damaged. They're just so lost. Do you feel like that?
Well, I feel like it's a new beginning, but I feel like I've had my root torn out of my heart at the same time.
Yeah, you know, like a little mellow treatment here. Let's see what's in your chart here that would trigger this incredible process. Oh, I know what did it. Gosh, Jupiter in Taurus has been setting off the grand square and the grand cross on your Mars-Saturn stuff there.
Jupiter in Taurus?
Yeah, Jupiter's been square your Mars this last 2 weeks. Have you been fighting?
Well, April 1st, we got into a big fight, and that's what set this all off.
Yeah, well, Jupiter was 5 Taurus then, exactly square your Mars at 5 Leo. So it was a transit. Okay. Congratulations. You should have probably stayed away from him for a couple weeks. You're showing new beginnings, hon, so close one chapter and open a new one.
Is there any way that I can resolve that Saturn in the 7th house oppose Mars in the 1st? I feel that there's a lot of karma in that, and I don't want to stay on this trip my whole life.
My opinion on that is that Mars-Saturn 7th 1st house effect is someone that tries too hard, definitely. And if you want things to be cool in relationships, you got to be Clint Eastwood about it. You know what that means?
Make my day?
No. It's like not being so intense. You know, it's like just kind of rolling with it. It's hard to tell someone with a Mars-Saturn 7th 1st house opposition not to be intense because that's your vibrational nature. Your body was magnified by this intensity with men in relationships. But I don't know, you might be kind of starstruck with relationships a little bit too much, or moonstruck, actually. And what you should try to do also is stop going after impossible dreams with people you know you can't make it with. And take a look at some of these gentle people that are interested in you that you ordinarily wouldn't be interested in.
Uh-huh.
Like, I always meet these girls who are always madly in love with other people, and then I care about them, and they don't care to give me the time of day because they're madly in love with people they can't have. I would be the good relationship for them, right? They don't care to turn around and look at the guy that would be good because they have a Mars-Saturn opposition. See what I mean?
Well, that hasn't really been my tendency. I've been... This last relationship was with someone who really, really loved me a lot, and it was probably the only real one I've had in my whole life.
How long did it last?
3 years.
Okay, and there was no problem?
Well, the problem was is that I wanted to go and do my own thing, and he wanted me to live part of his life with him.
Why would you want to destroy a nice relationship? That's your Mars-Saturn. You're the self-destructive expert.
Yeah.
If you have something nice, you never know it until it's gone. Then once it's gone, you sit there and go, wow, maybe it wasn't so bad after all. See, the Mars-Saturn opposition acts in different ways. But many times these people are experts in self-destruction. It's unusual how it occurs sometimes. But if you have a good relationship, Lisa, why would you blow it out?
I don't know.
Maybe time to make a phone call and resolve this, huh?
No, I can't. It's gone past that.
You Mars and Leo are two stubborn people. I gotta go.
Thanks.
Bye. Renee is a Leo like me, but with Scorpio rising. Hi, Renee.
Hi, how are you, Farley?
Excellent. Thanks for calling.
Your program's really interesting. I've only listened to it a couple times, but I'm real interested in it. This is a new area for me.
Well, far out. You got your chart done, it looks like, though.
Yeah, I got it done off of a computer several years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I've just kept it around. I don't understand a lot of the things, but I have the information.
Well, if you keep listening to the show and you pick up Secrets from a Stargazer's Notebook by Debbie Kempton Smith, Leos love this stuff, you know.
Yeah, it's real interesting.
We're the polar balance to Aquarius, which rules astrology.
I could identify to a lot of the things that you told Lisa.
Aww.
It seemed like she could identify, but I could.
Yeah, well, Mars and Leo women are stubborn, and a lot of times when they set limitations for themselves, they alter their destiny. I just hope that her destiny is happy now.
Yeah, that's true. Well, anyway, I feel a chapter in my book of life closing. I feel the desire to move from working in a corporate environment to becoming an entrepreneur. Can you see anything in my chart that would indicate that that would be a good move?
Yeah, you're a few months past due, frankly. You probably should have done it about a year ago, and then you might be rich now. It's still not too late, and if I was you, I would start planning it immediately and get involved in doing that right away. You're shown a promising future as a corporate leader, if you want, okay?
Can you tell me if I become a partner with a Scorpio that would...
I don't think partners would do that well with you. You should have at least a percentage point control over a partnership, my opinion, okay?
Can you identify karma for me?
Honey, I gotta go. I'm out of time. Bye. All right, so we'll see you real soon, and that would be weekdays on KFOX 93.5 FM at 12 noon. Have a nice day.